We want this to be real. And then in the third stage, the illusionist completes the illusion by convincing us that this is reality. And just like that, we've become trapped in the illusion.
Well, I don't know about you, but I've always been intrigued and actually kind of awed by illusionists. I remember one guy doing an illusion and seeing him do it, and he took what appeared to be a long, I guess, knitting needle or something, and he was poking it through his forearm. He'd rolled up his sleeve, and he's poking it through his arm, and you can see it as he starts sticking himself. You can see it start protruding through the other side of his arm. The skin is poking out, and it hadn't poked through yet. And then it pokes through, and I'm close enough to where I can really see this well. And I'm like, that is just gross. And then the whole time I'm thinking, you know, I know it's just an illusion, but this is really grossing me out. And I was left just kind of wondering, how do these guys do this kind of stuff? You know, I don't know. I don't get it fully. But today we're actually talking about kind of a different kind of illusion. But you see, a lot of us, we've spent a large part of our life pursuing things that many of us, we were confident. In fact, some of us, we were absolutely convinced that some of these things that we've been pursuing in our life were going to lead to happiness and fulfillment and contentment. And here we are, you know, some 5-10 years later, maybe even 20-25 years later, and the happiness, the fulfillment, the wholeness that we thought we were going to experience has just been kind of elusive. I mean, you know, on the outside, externally, we look like life is going great for us. Everything, we've got everything together in our lives. But internally, the truth is we feel hollow and empty. And a lot of us, we've pursued a lot of goals in our life. A lot of you, you're accomplishing those goals. A lot of accomplishments that you have behind you. And yet in those moments when you slow down and you're really honest with yourself, you know, you're kind of laying in bed late at night, kind of pondering, you know, life, this big, enormous thing, you begin to realize, you know, that there's something. There's something that's just kind of missing. And you might not admit that to very many people. But the truth is that these things that you were so confident, you've pursued these things in your life, you were so confident they were going to lead to happiness and fulfillment and contentment, they've just ended up being an illusion, a counterfeit of whatever the real thing is, but the things you're pursuing aren't it. But what's really interesting about this is that a lot of us, we continue to pursue these hollow illusions, these hollow pursuits in our life. And the reason is because everybody else is doing that. I mean, you look around, everybody else is pursuing the same things that you are, and you really don't know what else to pursue in your life. And so a lot of times we just keep pursuing the same things, hoping that maybe somehow, someday, some of these things that we've been pursuing in our life will eventually lead to this elusive fulfillment that we've been looking for, but it doesn't. And we end up disillusioned and disappointed a little bit. It's a little bit like eating potato chips. You know, you remember the old Lay's commercial, bet you can't eat just one? You know, you try to do that. You try to eat just one potato chip. It's hard to do. It just begs for one more and one more. And next thing you know, the whole bag of potato chips is gone. I mean, you can fill yourself up on the carbs from potato chips. An hour later, you want more. You're hungry. You know, they just don't satisfy. The more you eat, the more you want. And some of us, we've been pursuing some of these things throughout our whole life, but they just don't satisfy. They leave us looking and desiring this elusive, you know, something more that's out there. Some of us have lived our lives thinking that if we worked really hard, and if we were successful in our career, and then we would find fulfillment. Some of us thought if we made straight A's that we would feel really great about ourselves. So I thought, if we could just get that first house, when we bought our first house, when we finally bought our dream house, then we would finally be happy. Or we thought that when we got married, when we found that somebody, that special somebody, and we fell in love and we got married, you know, we would finally feel whole. Or when we had our own kids, our own family, we would be complete. We just feel that way. Or some of us have spent our lives pursuing security, financial security, relational security. Some of us thought when we lost a certain amount of weight, that would do it. Or when we broke out of this unhealthy pattern, habit, maybe addiction in our life. For some of us, when we could finally get to where we could go on some of these really cool, exotic vacations. Some of us have wrapped up our sense of fulfillment and contentment in our children's success. You know, maybe in sports, maybe academics, maybe dance, maybe music, whatever. We spend all kinds of time and energy making sure they have every opportunity they can possibly have to become successful themselves. Some of us have pursued, you know, fun, entertainment, pleasure, sports ourselves, we're working out. Sex, you know, travel, you know, and the list just goes on and on and on. And some of these things are potentially really good things, but in some of our lives, without us even realizing it, some of these things that we've been pursuing in our lives to lead to fulfillment have taken the place of God. And anything that becomes more important than God, I mean, anything that captures our heart or our imagination more than God, anything that we seek to give us what only God can give us, becomes an idol, really, a counterfeit God in our lives. Now, we live in a culture that's so sophisticated that we don't think of ourselves as worshiping idols, certainly not statues or things that are carved out of wood or chiseled out of rock or anything like that. But the truth of the matter is, at some time or another, most of us have prioritized or valued or pursued things, some of these pursuits, hollow pursuits, more than God. Some of these things have taken the place of God in our hearts and in our lives. I know I've certainly done that. In fact, just about every one of those things that I mentioned, at one time or another in my life, to some degree or another, I've turned in to an idol, to a counterfeit God. I also, though, over the years, as I've pursued some things, realized as good as some of those things are, as enjoyable as some of those things were, I realized that they really didn't fulfill that inner longing that I had for meaning and fulfillment. I realized that these things were really just an illusion of happiness and fulfillment. And yet, we can keep pursuing those things. And we can keep alternating between one and the other, and we can replace one hollow pursuit with another hollow pursuit, thinking that that'll maybe do it. But ultimately, all that'll probably do is just end up replacing one illusion for another illusion. But we can certainly do that. We can continue to pursue these hollow illusions. We continue to pursue these things we've been pursuing our whole lives, thinking and hoping that they will give us satisfaction and fulfillment and maybe happiness in our life. We can keep doing that. That's obviously an option. Or we can explore what God has to say. And I realize that some of you are here today, and maybe you're new back to church, or a friend invited you this weekend, and maybe you're not into the whole God thing, and maybe you're not even sure you believe in Jesus or believe in the Bible, but I would just say, while you're here, I mean, why not at least be open-minded to the possibility of what he might say? Because this God says he loves you, and this God says that he wants you to have a full and abundant life. He wants you to have the best life that you can have. And so what I want to do today is I want to look at what God says about this whole issue. So if you have your Bible, you could, if you would, open it up to 1 Corinthians 10. It's a passage of Scripture in the New Testament. Corinthians is one of two letters, 1 and 2 Corinthians. This is the first letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in a city by the name of Corinth. That's why it's called Corinthians. And I want to give you a little bit of context, what the Apostle Paul is talking about. So right before the section of Scripture that we're actually going to read, Paul goes back and he refers to something that happened in the Jewish history. He refers to something that happened hundreds of years earlier when Moses, under the leadership of God, had led the children of Israel out of captivity, out of slavery in Egypt. So God frees them, and they're heading out. There's a parting of the Red Sea, and they're headed to the Promised Land because God wanted a better life for the children of Israel. And yet on the journey, the Israelites begin to grumble, and they actually begin to worship and pursue counterfeit gods. And they fall into sexual immorality, and it's interesting because that whole generation, we know from history, ends up missing out on God's best. And Paul says that this should be a warning and kind of an example for us. And then we pick up with this in verse 12. He goes through all that, and then we pick up in verse 12 of chapter 10. And he says this, we'll throw this up here on the screen. It says, so if you think that you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And then verse 13, no temptation has seized you or overtaken you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so you can stand up under it. And then verse 14, therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. Flee from these counterfeit gods. Flee from these illusions, if you will, that promise so much but deliver so little. And so what I want to do is I want to unpack this passage of Scripture. There are four things that we need to do if we're going to move beyond these illusions, these hollow pursuits, all the smoke and mirrors, and we're going to discover what the true source of fulfillment and satisfaction and wholeness is in life. The first thing you need to do, number one, is don't assume that you're beyond being sidetracked. Don't assume that you're beyond being sidetracked by the illusions, by the counterfeit stuff. It says in verse 12 again, so if you think that you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. It's basically saying don't get overconfident and think that you're immune to being tempted, that you're immune from being distracted and led astray. I mean, it's so much easier than we realize to just kind of drift away from God. You see, it's rarely that we wake up one day and just choose to blow God off. And that's not how it typically happens. What usually happens is just a slow, gradual drift, just a fade over time. I mean, there may have been a time for some of you where you felt close to God, maybe a lot closer than you feel to God right now. In fact, there was a time where you were really excited about God in your life, and you were curious about the things of God, and you may have even had a time in your life where you thought, I mean, you were pretty convinced that God actually had a really special plan for your life. But then something happened, and you begin to just kind of drift away. You didn't wake up one morning and go, you know what? I'm going to blow God off for the rest of my life. That's what I think I'm going to do from here on. That's my plan. It didn't happen that way. For most of us, we just got caught up in other things. You know, good things. Things that distracted us. And over time, these other things, good things, became more important to us than God. And subconsciously, without even realizing, they become some of these things that we're pursuing, that we've pursued in our life, they become an idol, in essence. They become a counterfeit god in our life. And we just get busy. We get busy with work, with school, with family responsibilities, even with church stuff. And the kids play sports, and they have music lessons, and we have, you know, all these events and concerts and meetings and golf and all this stuff that we get caught up in. It's like the frog in the kettle where the water just kept getting warmer and warmer and warmer, and eventually the frog, instead of jumping out, it just gets comfortable in the water. It gets warmer and just boils to death. It just stays there. It doesn't move. So many of us, for one reason or another, a lot of us, we don't even remember why, but we just kind of slipped away, just gradually, almost imperceptibly, we removed God from the place that he used to have in our lives. And next thing you know, we're pursuing these illusions of fulfillment and contentment and wholeness. We got to realize we're not immune to getting sidetracked from God. You see, God has given us desires and passions that are good and healthy and that he wants to fulfill. But when we leave him out of the picture, when we sideline God, when he just becomes kind of something that's on the back burner of our lives, those desires and passions can get kind of skewed and kind of corrupted. And we begin to replace God with other pursuits that may lead to more immediate gratification, but they end up being hollow and empty. And before you know it, something good has actually eclipsed everything else in our life, including God. For example, the desire for love and romance. You know, it's a great thing. Isn't it? I mean, and God wired us up. God has made us to want to have close, intimate relationships with people in our lives. I mean, that's something that God has done for us. But when that becomes the all-consuming drive of our life and everything in our life begins to revolve around us finding that special someone because our whole life is consumed with this romance and this love, that something good that God created in us to desire, even something like that can become an idol, a counterfeit. Making money, entertainment, working out, you know, sports, technology, even puttering around in the garage, scrapbooking. All these things can become an idol when they consume extreme amounts of our time and our energy and our lives. And when they lead us to push things like faith back to the background where they're just an afterthought in our lives. Was there ever a time when you were growing up that you put up posters of celebrities or people that you looked up to on the walls in your room? I mean, any of you do that kind of thing? I mean, a lot of us at some point we did, and it may have been, you know, if it was back in the day, who knows, it may have been Michael Jackson. It may have been, Madonna or Patrick Swayze from, Dirty Dancing. Or maybe for you is the best-selling poster of all time, 1976, Farrah Fawcett, you know, poster. You know, maybe it was that. You know, maybe that's too far back for you. You know, maybe it's, you know, I don't know, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC. You know, one of maybe Michael Jordan. Maybe some of you guys that, or more recently even, maybe it's like LeBron James or Kevin Durant or Taylor Swift, or we may have some people here that are like Bieber fans. You know, Justin Bieber. You know, this whole deal. You know, a poster that you put up. So it was interesting. I just read recently about a fan of Justin Bieber's who bought a bottle of water they had taken a few sips out of for $683. What's up with that? This is just crazy stuff. But we do that, don't we? I mean, and there's really nothing wrong with putting up these posters of people. I certainly had some posters of people who were celebrities or you looked up to or whatever. Nothing wrong with that. But here's a real question. Are there any posters that you have up on the wall of your heart that have captured your attention and your imagination and your time and your love more than God? Are there any posters on the wall of your heart that have become more important to you than God? See, Scripture says in Ezekiel 14:3, it talks about people setting up idols in their heart. We're all susceptible. We're not immune. You see, anything that we give our ultimate allegiance to that is smaller than God is just going to let us down. I mean, ultimately, it's going to fail us. So don't underestimate your susceptibility to getting sidetracked by these counterfeit gods. Don't underestimate your susceptibility to getting sidetracked by these illusions of the real thing. And number two, the second thing that we need to do if we're going to move beyond these illusions, all the smoke and mirrors, these hollow pursuits, and we're going to discover the true source of satisfaction and wholeness and fulfillment in our lives. Number two is realize that you are not alone. You're not alone in getting lured away from God's best for your life. You're not alone and getting tempted to drift away. It goes on, and in verse 13, the first part of that verse, it says, this passage of scripture we're looking at, it says, no temptation has seized you or overtaken you except
what is common to man, what's common to people. You know, at times, we go to beating ourselves up, and we carry this load of shame because we think, oh, yeah, I'm such an awful person because I did this or I did that. How could I have done that? How could I have turned my back on God after, you know, all that he's done for me? How could I have done that? You know, how could I have gotten sucked in to this? You know, I mean, I knew better. You know, why did I do this? Why do I keep turning to all these things that I know? I mean, I know that they're not going to satisfy. Why did I do that? And a lot of us, we get to thinking at times because of the guilt and the shame, we get to thinking that we're the only ones who have done anything like that. Well, you need to realize what it's saying here is there are people all around you that struggle with the same things that you struggle with. I mean, they may struggle with them. Their struggle may be a little bit more intense than your struggle, or it may be a little bit less intense than your struggle. But we all struggle with the same basic temptations. And the reason that we keep turning to these counterfeit solutions, the reason we keep turning to these counterfeit gods is because they seem so convincing. I mean, we're convinced that they're eventually going to satisfy our inner longing. But they just end up being a mirage. They just end up being smoke and mirrors, an illusion. We all get duped. We all get lured into pursuing these things that end up being hollow pursuits. Now, for a lot of us, the biggest temptation that we face is actually ourselves. It's a self-focus, a self-preoccupation. It's really self-worship. You know, it's interesting, in our social media-obsessed culture, at times they describe this generation, this culture, as a self-obsessed, narcissistic culture. And I think there's some truth to that. And you know where that word, narcissism or narcissistic, comes from? It's come from a young man's name. He was named Narcissus. This is in Greek mythology. His name was Narcissus, and he was a very handsome, good-looking young guy. And he was so caught up in himself that one day he was looking at his reflection in a pool of water, and he became so enamored with his own reflection in the pool of water that he couldn't divert his gaze from it. He just kept staring at his own image. I mean, how good-looking and handsome he was. And he just stayed there, stuck, staring at himself until he starved to death. He's just so caught up in himself. And sometimes we get so caught up in ourselves. You see, a lot of us have become our own counterfeit God. We've become our own idol. Our whole life just kind of revolves around us. We're just completely self-absorbed with our comfort and our well-being and our success and making sure that all of our needs are met and our image and getting ahead with little regard for the well-being of anybody else around us. But thinking that a self-focused life will ultimately lead to fulfillment and happiness, as much as we may get caught up, it's an illusion. But it's an illusion that at one time or another, almost all of us have bought into. It's just a lie that we've all bought into. But even if we're not alone, this is what's in, even if we're not alone in facing these temptations, this isn't an excuse to give in and say, well, you know, everybody else is struggling. Everybody else gives in these temptations. Everybody else is pursuing these illusions. I guess I'll just follow the crowd. No, there's hope. We don't have to give in to these counterfeit gods. We don't have to give in to the emptiness, to this empty disillusionment. We don't have to pursue these things. The passage of Scripture goes on, though, there's a third thing that we see that we need to do. If we're going to move beyond these illusions and these hollow pursuits and the smoke and mirrors, we're going to discover the true source of fulfillment and wholeness. And that is number three. You need to choose the alternate path. There's always, and this is what we need to understand, there's always another option when we're tempted. It goes on, this passage of Scripture, the second part of verse 13, it says, "And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out." Yeah, he will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it, so you can endure it. God always, always provides an escape hatch, is what it's saying. It may not be obvious. It may not be the easiest choice, and it will often mean swimming against the current of what everybody else is doing, your friends, your family members, your neighbors, the people that you connect with in your life. A lot of times you're going to be trying to do, needing to do the exact opposite. But there will be an escape hatch. A lot of times it may mean delayed gratification, but there will always be another option. We are not at the mercy of the temptation. We are not at the mercy of these illusions. But you need to understand, I mean, please understand how challenging this can be. I mean, the pressure to keep climbing the ladder of success when that seems to be what everybody around you, everybody in your life is doing. It's all about getting ahead. I mean, that pressure can be huge. The pressure to make sure that our kids are in all these activities in sports so they don't fall behind. That can be enormous. Just enormous in our lives. The pressure of the thing that eating out or that entertainment or the recreation activities, that nice vacations is what's going to make us happy can actually be toxic in our lives. I mean, those are good things, but they can become counterfeit gods. And the only way to free ourselves from the destructive influence of these counterfeit gods is to turn back to the true God, to the living God who made himself known in a personal way by coming into this world in the person of Jesus, who walked this earth, cared for people, loved people, ultimately died willingly on a cross in order to pay the penalties, to be the perfect payment for the sins of mankind, but for your sins and for my sins, for our wrongdoings. He's the only one who can truly fulfill you. And he's the only one, when you stumble, who can truly forgive you. So instead of giving in to the temptation to continue to run after these hollow, these empty pursuits that have ended up being just an illusion, just a mirage of what we truly crave, what we need to do is we need to choose another path. We need to choose the other option. What we need to start doing is we need to start running toward Jesus. And then the passage of Scripture goes on, and there's a fourth thing that we need to do. If we're going to move beyond these illusions and these hollow pursuits, and we're going to discover what the true source of satisfaction and wholeness and significance is in our life, and that is number four, you need to flee from any counterfeit gods. In verse 14, it goes on and says, "Therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. Flee from the counterfeit gods. Flee from these illusions that promise so much but deliver so little." Flee. That's not a real complicated word, not real sophisticated there. I mean, that just means escape. Get out of there as fast as you can. Don't toy around with it. Don't see how close to the fire you can get without getting burned. You need to put whatever that counterfeit God, that illusion is, saying you need to put that in the rearview mirror of your life. Now, in coming weeks, we're going to get more specific about how to recognize these different illusions that so many of us have bought into that promises so much and deliver so little. But even more importantly, we're going to get more specific about how to shift our focus from these hollow pursuits to the only hope that really matters. But on a real practical level, when you look at this past year, how do we do this? How do we flee from these counterfeit gods, from these illusions that some of us have spent a good chunk of our lives pursuing? Well, you know, obviously you don't just take off running like literally, right? We need to get honest with ourselves and identify, you know, what am I trusting in? What am I relying on for my happiness and my contentment and my fulfillment and my satisfaction for the sense of wholeness? What are the things that I'm relying on? We need to get honest with ourselves, because some of us, the truth is, as we begin to get honest with ourselves, we know that those things, that they're not leading to the contentment, the fulfillment that we want. They're not getting us where we want to go. In fact, the truth is, some of us would probably be embarrassed to actually verbalize what we're pursuing, what the driving force is in our lives. And we know that we're empty. we know that there's a hollowness inside of us. And yet the intriguing thing is that we continue to pursue these same things. So my challenge to you is to make some tough choices, because there are no quick, easy, 1, 2, 3 easy steps that we can take. You see, what we've got to do is we've got to get honest with ourselves about these illusions, these hollow pursuits that we've been pursuing. And we've got to replace those things that we thought we were convinced were going to lead to contentment and satisfaction. We've got to replace those things with God. You see, we need to change some patterns. We need to change some priorities, some values in our life. We need to change what captures our heart and our attention and our time and our focus. We need to change what really matters most in our lives. And we need to make Jesus the center of every facet of our lives. We need to make Jesus the ultimate allegiance of our heart. We need to offer these fake gods, these illusions of satisfaction and contentment to God. And say, God, you know, I've been thinking that if I worked really hard and I became successful in what I was doing, I've lived my life thinking that would lead to fulfillment. But God, I'm making more money than I've ever made, and there's still something missing. God, I thought that if I got married, that would lead to a sense of wholeness in my life. And I'm married, and things are going well in our marriage. I mean, it's great. And yet, in spite of that, there's still something missing. Or we've got our kids and so many things, we're exhausted trying to keep up with them. And then you say, you know, I love being a mother, and I thought that would make me feel complete. But the reality is there are times where I'm disillusioned and angry and exhausted. And I love my kids, but just trying to take care of their needs and all the things that I'm doing has just left me just a little bit hollow. I think there's something missing in my life. Maybe you've pursued pleasure, fun, sex, and then there have been thrills that you've experienced. When you really slow down and you're really honest with yourself, you say, you know, there's got to be something more. And you can keep pursuing and banking on those hollow pursuits, those things that you've been pursuing throughout your life to bring satisfaction and fulfillment, but the only one who can really bring wholeness into your life, who can meet the deep inner longing of your soul, is Jesus. Jesus is the only one. The only true source of wholeness and satisfaction. You see, we were made to love Jesus supremely. And if we don't love Jesus supremely, we're going to end up loving someone or something else supremely. So what we need to do is we need to replace these illusions of fulfillment and satisfaction and happiness with Jesus. You see, anything that we give our ultimate allegiance to that is smaller than God will ultimately fail us. Anything that we give our ultimate allegiance to that's smaller than God is going to let us down. It's going to fail us. The hunger for meaning and purpose and pleasure, the thirst for love and romance, those things can only be met, they can only be fulfilled by God. So what we need to do in our lives is we need to demote these things that we've thought that we had to have to be happy, that we thought that we couldn't live without. We need to demote them to their rightful place under God. And once we quit holding on to those things so tightly, maybe some of those things can remain in our lives. We're gonna wrap up. We're gonna pray here in just a moment. But trying to pursue and figure out what idol, what counterfeit it is that's leading us to pursue these illusions is not going to lead to fulfillment and satisfaction in your life. It takes more than just figuring out what those counterfeit idols, those counterfeit gods are. What we need is we need to embrace Jesus. We need to fall in love with Jesus. We need to open up our heart to this God who loves us and can be trusted to have our best interests at heart. This God who loves us and wants to forgive us and wants to give us a fresh start regardless of how messed up and dark our life may be. We need to embrace Jesus. And if you've never embraced Jesus and made him the leader of your life and the source of hope and meaning and fulfillment, one who can fill that wholeness in your heart and your life, I want to give you a chance to do that. Would you bow your heads with me? You don't have to continue to pursue these illusions of happiness and fulfillment, these hollow pursuits. You know, today in your heart, you say, you know, I'm tired of that. And you turn to God and you pray a prayer. And you pray right now to God. You don't have to do it out loud, but in your heart. You say, God, I believe that you love me. And I believe that you want the very best for me. God, I don't want to continue to pursue these illusions, these hollow pursuits. They haven't got me where I want to go. So God, today I'm placing my faith, my trust, my confidence in Jesus and what he did on the cross. God, I receive your gift of forgiveness. God, please forgive me for pursuing these counterfeit gods, pursuing these hollow pursuits, these illusions. God, I want to make Jesus the ultimate allegiance that my heart is given to. And then whether you just prayed that in your heart just now, or maybe you've received Christ sometime back in your life, you say, God, in the coming weeks, help me to figure out what it looks like to live my life without allowing these illusions, these hollow pursuits to be the driving force. And God, give me the discipline, the determination, the courage to change the patterns, to change some priorities, some of my values, so that I can love Jesus supremely and make him the driving force of my life. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.